Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I want to take a look at some of the backup quarterbacks around the league. I think there's a couple of rules of thumb to think about. At 28-man depth, you're probably not super interested in these. It's probably 30 to 40-man rosters that you might be interested in. So just keep those in mind on your roster builds. And I would say this, there's some guys in here that are a little bit closer to that 28 man, depending on where you're at. Again, I think this part of the calendar year, you're a little bit taking some of these situational shots as the running back stuff isn't totally clarified yet. And so taking some of those shots right now in maybe some ambiguous situations is of value. And then maybe you pare that down if the situation gets worse or if the situation doesn't clear itself up or get more advantageous for you and a running back situation opens up. So, again, a couple of things that we're looking for in this. You've got basically your group of guys that are what I would consider like long-term potential starters. And then I think you got your guys that are just pure backups. And I think you have to kind of blend those a little bit. I'm including the rookie guys in the quote long-term potential starter grouping. And then, so it's really the guys that have long-term potential starters would include Jordan Love, for example, Jimmy G, I guess theoretically, Baker, I guess technically would qualify in this, but he's already rostered. I'm holding on to Baker. Sam Howell is like a theoretical guy of this. Ritter, Corral. Tyler Huntley to some degree, but probably not. I think he's probably not really a long-term guy. I think people might think of him that way. So, again, these don't exist on like the perfect continuum. But just some thoughts to kind of consider, you know, where we're using the hierarchy of assets, for example. You might think, hey, what's the... is this guy a value play, right? Where does he sort of fall in? Is he a contributing asset, partial contributing asset? You know, what's sort of the bet you're trying to make? You know, with some of these backup guys, you're looking at maybe a little bit more youth or trying to get some ceiling out of them, or with a little bit of long-term longevity, right? They don't necessarily always fit one exact box. So I think Love, you still have some hope that he's a potential long-term guy. We'll see. Howell, the pedigree might rule that out a little bit, but you kind of have fingers crossed that might happen. Ritter as well. Corral. Huntley is a relatively low one, even though we've seen him, produce, and you have to sort of compare him against some of these and some of these guys where you're like, okay, it's not super, super different from, a guy like Howell coming in, in terms of expectation and all that. So, I think he performed well enough. I think he's probably more of a higher end backup than you would think to be one of these guys that has some long-term potential. So guys that I think are good backups. So Huntley would definitely qualify. A Baker, if he is in that category, would qualify. Again, I think he's probably, again, it's not an exact science on the labeling of these, but I still think he's got some long-term potential as well. But I definitely think he's a, you roster him. Same with Jimmy G. And I think there's a tier break after that. Huntley, probably not in every league, depending on where it's at. The rest of these guys, I think it is there's kind of the line there. So here's the guys that I would think are kind of around the line of probably not rostered presently, but could be. You could sort of pitch for them. Maybe they're, I don't know, is it high end? Is it a priority waiver wire type deal? Right, that could be something you would think about. So Jimmy G, right, Baker, probably both guys that are rostered that I would hang on to at present. Case Keenum in Buffalo, offense really good. I think he's played well enough to earn, the respect of a injury away quarterback to be able to play well and competent and be a productive partial contributor there if he is called upon to do so. Cooper Rush, we saw his proof of concept last year. He performed pretty well in that opportunity in Dallas. So he's another one. Again, probably not rostering him right now in 28-man, but 35-man, something like that. I have him, but I've got him on a team. So Colt McCoy, another one in that vein in Arizona. We'll see. Right? I don't think that Kyler Murray is going to hold out, but if he did, Colt McCoy is your beneficiary. And again, he's performed well enough. He's a pro, right? That's the thing I look about in these quarterbacks. Like, do I want to be trusting someone who's totally inexperienced and I haven't seen, right? That, and again, if it's a couple week window, am I going to feel super confident playing someone that I haven't seen play, right? You have all these concerns. I would take a little bit more. Let's take the guy that we kind of know and have a little bit of confidence. Hey, if it's a decent matchup, right, it's a bye, or, you know, we have it's our injury to our own guy, whatever, that we can feel confident playing him. I kind of like that approach more than I like taking just this huge swing at the backup spot of some of these younger guys. And again, you kind of are saving some of the roster spots by not rostering Howell and Ridder and Willis when you paid too much for them in rookie drafts. You're kind of keeping in mind these other guys as options at the back end of your roster. Minshew's another one. Andy Dalton as a backup is interesting as well. He's in New Orleans. Minshew, of course, in Philly behind Jalen Hurts. That's interesting. Bridgewater's one that I think could potentially, I don't view him as a starter. I think some people around the league might view him as a starter. I don't, just because I've seen that story before. And I kind of know how it goes. That said, if Miami has these big aspirations and Tua's not good, Bridgewater's competent enough to play. Again, this might be one of the better sets of weapons that he's had. You know, is it an ideal situation throwing Bridgewater in there? No, but you have Waddle, you have Hill. Some interesting stuff there. Again, he has some limitations, but I think he could potentially produce some viable quarterback two type production with the weapons that are there. So he's one that's sort of on the list of. He's probably not, I'm not rostering him in 28 man, but you know, if I'm trying to build, like, he's a good example of, like, if I don't have a great quarterback four and two quarterbacks, kind of piecing some of these guys together, that would make a little bit of sense. He's a good example of that. Again, I mentioned Huntley before. Jacoby Brissett, I think, savvy. I think I'd probably roster Jacoby Brissett right now. Again, if you're sort of in the range where, you know, if you don't have quarterback three, if you are just rostering some, you know, some running backs that are drawing dead, something like that, go out and put Jacoby Brissett on the back end of your roster. Again, I actually traded for him and a link, and I talked about how I did a show on it, actually, or I think I discussed it as part of a show about why he was such a critical part of the deal. So listen, I think he's got a potential shot to be a starter, and that was interesting to me to roster him in a league where I wanted another one of those shots. So Brissett, that's, I think you're going to see a suspension for Watson, and I think it could be longer than maybe we expect. And if that's true, Brissett could be a beneficiary of that. So that's really the argument for him. Geno Smith, I think, is as a potential starter. So for what that's worth, I think he's, if I had to bet right now, he's the week one starter in Seattle. I asked Chad without prepping him, and you know, what's your sort of reaction to that in the Football Guys show? Because I've increasingly become more and more of a believer that that's true. And he, that's what he answered too. So I was sort of, I guess encouraged would be the word about that, I had someone else in the Geno Smith camp with me, if you will. Tyrod Taylor would be the last one there. Again, with the Giants, he is a pro And I think you have a potential player for him that that is behind Daniel Jones and he offers some rushing ability. I think if you want to squint, like if you want to squint, that that receiving core is pretty good. That's cast of supporting weapons is pretty good. If it breaks well, right? If you kind of squint and look at it just right, if everything sort of fits together, you're like, oh wait, like that's a decent set of weapons. You have Sterling Shepard, Tony Galladay, Wandale Robinson. Like you have these guys that if everything broke right, you'd be like, hey, that's not a bad, like it's actually good. Like Barkley's, you know, back and healthy, and all of a sudden, like we've got something to work with here. I think in a best case for Tyrod, that could be fantasy. That could be fantasy usable. So, there's no allegiance there with Daniel Jones either, and he's on the last year of a deal. So if he flails and they think that they can compete, which here's the dirty little secret, they probably can in the NFC East. And the NFC this year as well, just generally, yeah, if they can get to 9 wins, they probably have a fighting shot to get in the playoffs in a division that, frankly, is pretty open. That wouldn't be super, super surprising either there for him. So I think the big lesson would be think about these bets in terms of, especially where you have need. And again, I'm working on the fix it series in terms of fixing some of the problems that we have on dynasty teams and thinking about how to go about, you know, addressing them and just taking incremental shots at quarterback whether it's a quarterback 3 need. You know, I don't love doing it at quarterback 2. Like I'd rather take a bigger, like just go fix it, right? Just do it, right? That's the hire someone to fix a garage type deal. Going back to earlier in the off season, but if you're looking for quarterback 3, if you're looking for some depth, right? If you're trying to just build out that, or you have some concerns, maybe have Watson, and you're just wondering like, hey, what do I do? Like cheap incremental bets on a guy like Goff, on a guy, you know, further down the position like that, and then sort of blend in, you know, blend in a Jimmy G shot, right? Blend in, you know, take a desperation shot on a pick or something like that. But also, you know, it's a Tyrod, it's Geno, right? You can't take all the shots, but if you're sort of looking at, hey, I can take a blended approach, maybe I can take a couple of these guys across these different categories and think about them, that might give you some spot starts. And again, you don't necessarily need to solve for 14 weeks sitting here in May, but you're trying to count to 14, and that might be 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. That might be 10 guys, right? That might be playing week to week off the waiver wire of guys. If you are, if you're playing and, you know, and it's not a depth where there's a ton of backup guys rostered, right? There's a lot of options there for you. So that's just some thoughts that I had on the position, and we'll see sort of, it gives us a baseline to watch here for the rest of the season. Again, you're paying attention to your rookies, I think, in a little bit different light in all of this. But yeah, that's pretty much a rundown. Some guys that I would say are more of a phone call away. Chase Daniel is interesting. If something were to happen to Herbert, Henny, if something were to happen to Mahomes, those guys are interesting, but I think a little bit further down. You've seen Keenan be more fantasy viable. Those guys have been more pure backups, sort of the difference that I would have there. Gabbert or Kyle Trask as well, sort of on that line there in Tampa. All right, that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.